time to take a ride on the MCT.
Funko Pop. Hey guys, do you want to go to Lambert's?
Hello everyone, welcome to the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. My name is Jeremiah Johnson, alongside Funko Pro Greg Walden. What the Super Bowl is set.
Yep, it is there.
And it will be the Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers. Oh my goodness. What a day yesterday in the National Football League.
Yeah, it was some good games. I was really hoping the Lions would have won, but they if they would have kept their composure in the second half, I think they could have done it. But I think different team showed up after halftime.
Yeah, so we'll talk through those a little bit. We have the Lions get defeated by the 49ers. It was 34-31, so it was a field goal. But the interesting part of that game is really a tale of two blown or botched games, a little bit by each team. Meaning that the Lions, they were up, let's see here, at halftime, they were up
24-7, I think.
24-7.
Yeah.
And yeah, sorry, I just had a little glitch there in what was going down. Apologize for that. So they had a 24-7 lead, and that's when I started watching it at halftime. So I picked up the game when it was 24-7, and I was like, dude, the Lions are going to get it. And then essentially there was one play, if I can describe it, it was like a long pass play where it kind of bounced off the guy's head, the 49ers' head. Then he makes this amazing catch. It looked like it should have been an interception. And the crowd just hits a switch.
Yeah.
And goes crazy, and momentum completely changes. And it just from that single moment, the 49ers just snapped into a different mode. And they go on to win the game.
Do you want to talk about it now or you want later?
Yeah, let's talk about it now. Yeah,
Here's the thing. See, Detroit, I mean, they've been to a couple NFC championships, but they've always choked. And I think they got ahead. I don't know if they just got that assumption, hey, we got this in the bag, and kind of let their guard down or lost some composure or something, but something happened after halftime. They just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just didn't. If they would have just kept the same pace that they were going, they could just held them off. I think they could have won it, but they just lost their
composure. A lot of people are talking about kind of their lack of or they kind of wavered in terms of the head coach of the Detroit Lions always being aggressive, go for four. And then he kind of pulled back. He got conservative. Then he got aggressive, then he had some management issues, timeouts, and kind of beat a jumbled mess.
Yeah, I read on that this morning that somebody's like, well, he should have kicked the field goal in that one area of time. He should have kicked the field goal and
went for it.
But, you know.
Dropped passes.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. And I tell you what, we can sit here and play Monday quarterback, right? But when those guys are in that amount of pressure in those games, it really is something amazing, and we can't take anything away from those guys. So
yeah, they were a good team. I was really rooting for the Lions to beat the 49ers, because I would rather see the Chiefs Lions versus the Chiefs and 49ers again.
They definitely seem like that heartfelt favorite this year, the Detroit Lions, that everyone was behind.
Well, everybody wanted to see a Baltimore and a Lions Super Bowl, because I guess here's the thing, is like back when the Patriots were just dominating, people just started hating the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Chiefs.
Yep, they've stepped into that.
Yeah, now everybody's starting to hate the Chiefs.
I do feel like, and we'll get to that game, I do feel like now we're lingering. I think the Chiefs have become the modern-day Patriots. You know, in the last, 6 to 8 years? You know, they're in the AFC Championship. They're winning. Yes, they haven't won the Super Bowl every single year, but they have been head and shoulders above the rest. Mahomes is clearly the best quarterback in the NFL as of right now. You know, and a lot of things line up. Good organization, good owner, good management, good head coach, good quarterback. A lot of those parallels from the Patriots to, I mean, a clearly different team, but some of those elements and that feel of the Patriots now kind of shifting towards the Chiefs, I think.
Well, the Chiefs could actually become the Patriots, because did you hear the rumor that if Andy Reid were to retire this year, that they're actually thinking that Bill Belichick will actually go to the Chiefs?
Yeah, I don't believe that one. I don't. So I'll put a bet right now that I don't believe that's going to happen. And the reason is, you know, it is what a changing of the guard that no one wants to hire Bill Belichick right now. And, you know, a lot of the reasoning or things from ESPN or different articles that I've read is based on a lot of people, he wants full control. And he has shown in the last 4 years that he doesn't have the ability to draft well, that he really isn't good from the management or the GM side of things. Clearly, no one doubts his coaching, But he wants to come in. He wants to control the system. He wants to be the GM. He wants to be the coach. He wants to have the power. He wants to, his sons like a coach. Some of his family members are the coaches. And people are like, we just don't really want that.
Right. And see, the thing is, like, you, when you bring in a new head coach, you change the dynamics with the team and the players. I mean, you know, you have a coach like Reed where everybody loves him. I mean, his team loves Andy Reed. But you get some, you bring somebody in, you know, you might, that person may not have the character or the demeanor or the interpersonal skills that Andy Reid had. And if you get in there so nobody wants to play, well, you can have the best players in the world, but nobody wants to play, you're not going to do well.
So I think Bill Belichick, I think he's done. I'm going to call it. I'll call that as well. I think he's done. I don't think there's really many teams, apart from being really, really desperate, that are going to really want Bill Belichick. Because a lot of people are saying he's just kind of playing for the all-time wins record. I don't have it in front of me how many more they say to be, if he had roughly, I think, 2-3 winning seasons, he could break the all-time head coaching wins mark. Yeah. So some people think he just wants to hang out for that.
Well, that's probably why he would be interested in going to the Chiefs, because Patriots ain't going to do it.
Yeah. So it's going to have to be a very unique situation. A lot of people saying, you know, most teams that are building towards the future or thinking down the road, yes, in the NFL, a lot of times head coaches are fired in a season or two. But if you're a up-and-coming franchise or a franchise that's looking towards the future, you're like, how long are you going to coach Bill Belichick? 1, 2, 3 years?
He's been there for a while. I mean, it's been you know, here's the thing. Do you think if this Chiefs were to win the Super Bowl, do you think Andy Reid will actually retire on the high note?
I don't. I think he's still vivacious. Maybe not vivacious. Great word. But I still think he's capable. I think I would actually. We're talking. I'm putting bets down, even though I don't believe in gambling. But I would pick Kelce to retire before Andy Reid at this point. That's that. I think that's the hotter rumor than
possible. Now he's got Andy Reid. Now he has other endeavors besides football.
Yes. That'll be interesting. And he broke the receptions mark, all-time postseason reception.
By Jerry Rice.
Yeah. By Jerry Rice, the GOAT. That's a big deal. I don't feel like they made enough out of that.
Well, I mean, obviously he's
record
he's
that he broke.
Mahomes' favorite target, you know.
He is, you know, he's in upper echelon. He's obviously a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he's obviously borderline, if not the greatest tight end of all time. And now he just keeps moving up the ladder, so... Anyway, we're lingering a lot on the Chiefs. The Chiefs was a very interesting game for me. So we'll move past the 49ers. 49ers go to the Super Bowl. They showed clearly, like I said, they came back. They won. Brock Purdy had some runs and just amazing. But then bouncing over the Chiefs win 17-10. So not a high-scoring game, but I think this was a very methodical, intentional score on behalf of the Chiefs. The Chiefs come out blazing, guns blazing, firing on all cylinders. It looked like they're going to go like 34 or 40 points. But I think they got that lead and they realized we can win this game through clock management and through the intelligence of our quarterback, Pat Mahomes, and the coaching staff.
The Chiefs this year, like everybody focuses on Mahomes, Kelce, but really, be honest with you, what's really carried the Chiefs in the postseason, I think, has more been their defense.
Their defense is nasty this year.
Yeah, their defense stepped up. If I think the defense was not on the caliber they're playing now, we wouldn't be talking about Chiefs in the Super Bowl right now.
And it really was a choke job on behalf. It showed how cohesive from coaching Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, Kelce, shows you these guys have been there and done that before, versus the Baltimore Ravens, who just looked discombobulated. Lamar Jackson was out of sync the entire game.
Yeah, he had players just doing dumb things. Like the guy that was that one defensive guy on the Ravens that just blew across the line and just plowed the guy on the – I mean
– Right,
Then you got Flowers. I mean, just sitting there and just pushed the receiver down, taunting, and got flagged. And then turn around and fumbled the ball, which would have been a touchdown, but he fumbled and that cost him a touchdown right there.
How much does God have to do with these games, you know, really? I mean, you think of the Chiefs last year, where they had the goal line fumble, and now here they are a week later, almost the identical spot, fumble. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I'd say the Chiefs is – what's interesting is this year's Chiefs, they really, in the last half of the regular season, they just were not themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were not composed. They lost games. I mean, I really thought there was a good chance they could actually miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
They were not playing good.
Did anyone think 4, 5, 6 weeks ago that the Chiefs were heading towards the Super Bowl.
No, I didn't think they were going.
In all honesty, you would have had to say no to that question.
No, I didn't think they would. In fact, I told the wife before the playoffs. I said they're not going to Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now I'm eating crow. Right?
Yeah. You know? My prediction was I did predict them in my official picks to go to the AFC Championship and lose to the Baltimore Ravens. Didn't happen. I'm happy for that. So that's what I'm rolling with.
So now we're both eating crow on a show, live on the show.
Yeah. My picks were fairly decent. I am going, so hot take right now, instant reaction, Super Bowl prediction as of right now. I think Mahomes has now officially moved to another level in his career / journey as a football player in that now, how can you bet against Pat Mahomes?
Well,
how can you bet against him?
I'm
taking the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
I'm doing reverse psychology.
Okay,
I'm going to pick the 49ers because every time I said they're going to lose to the Dolphins, they won. They're going to lose to the Bills, they won. They're going to lose to the Ravens, they won. So I'm saying they're going to lose to the 49ers. Okay.
I just feel like coming out of that last game, I walked away saying that was my overall premise that I walked away with was like, man, you can't bet against Pat Mahomes. He's so calm, poised.
But you know the sportscasters are going to be all picking the 49ers. I'm telling you.
The line right now, I did listen to a podcast called the Bill Simmons Podcast, which one that I do like. And the line at the moment does favor ever so slightly the 49ers. So they're a slight favorite, but you know that changes as the days go.
Here's my question. Will the 49ers pick up a lead and in the third quarter go out and do that crazy pose in the end zone like they did the last time they played the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and then they got spanked?
History. Yeah, very fascinating. So I do think that the good old Chiefs are going to get this dub, get another championship. And I was listening to one podcast this morning, and it really will. If he can get this one, this will put him up in the upper echelon. I mean, he has two Super Bowls. He's inarguably a Hall of Famer right now. If he broke his leg, arm, never played again, he is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But this will take him into that GOAT conversation.
Well, this would be, if he would have won the Super Bowl, he would be the first, the Chiefs would be the first team to go back-to-back Super Bowl victories in about 20 years since the Patriots did it about 20 years ago.
Patriots, and then prior to that would have been the Cowboys, right? Or no, well, the Broncos.
Well, they said
Broncos were late 90s, back-to-back, John Elway.
Yeah, because the Broncos did it and the Patriots did it in the early 2000s, and it's never been done again. So if he were to go to Super Bowl and win it again, back-to-back, he'd be the third team to do it. Also, there has been they said the Chiefs are the – oh, there's another stat that the Chiefs had it. The Patriots, was it four Super – four – no, four – is it four straight? Oh, no, it can't be four straight because of – no. There was a stat they threw out last night. I forgot what it was, but the Chiefs achieved it, and then the last one was the Patriots. Then, of course, the Bills, obviously – achieved it for the wrong reason. They got there and blew it.
And this is the sixth straight AFC Championship game they've been in, right? Six straight AFC Championship, which is amazing. So many records that they're clearly a dynasty. They are clearly going to be a historical team at the end of it when Mahomes, Kelce, and Reed, however that breaks up someday, it will be looked in the annals of history as a dynasty.
Well,
for sure.
I hope they do well. Last note on that Chiefs game. Did you see the Travis and the Jason Kelce? When they met up after the game,
I did not see that. I did see the pick where he got a little nice little kiss there from Taylor Swift who came on the field.
That's not important. Anyway, so he walks up to his brother. He goes, "I see you managed to keep your shirt on this time."
Yeah, that was epic last week. His brother. Jason getting all crazy, ripping off the shirt in Buffalo and jumping into the fans. And
so I thought that was funny. He's like, "You managed to keep your shirt on this time."
And we've talked enough about Taylor Swift, but Taylor Swift factor, we'll see how that.
Now the question is, she's supposed to have a game in show in
Tokyo. Yeah.
They're gonna say, how is she going to get back to watch the Super Bowl this time,
Yeah, they'll make it happen. So, all right, let's move on. So I'm taking the Chiefs for the Super Bowl win 2 weeks from now. Funko Pro Greg Walden really – in his heart of hearts, is picking the Chiefs, but he's saying verbally.
I'm going to say 49ers.
49ers. Yeah. With that reverse psychology. All right.
Hope it works.
Continuing on, my friend.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. All right.
I only had football talk today, really. Yeah. So
I got some interesting YouTube. Of course, YouTube and everybody out there doing their thing. And, of course, you always got these people on YouTube who I would say borderline do something stupid, but they go over the edge and get a lot of views. Well, there's this motorcyclist. Actually, I remember I just was browsing through YouTube. Of course, you get that random stuff that pops up. And I saw this guy. His name, he goes by, what's his name? He goes by something, what's his name? It showed up here. What's that here? Anyways, it's a YouTube channel. Anyways, the guy, he was going from Colorado Springs to Denver on a motorcycle at 150 miles an hour, weaving through traffic like it was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's stupid.
Yeah.
Of course, half the guy's like, yeah, man, you got skills. And half people are like, dude, you're stupid. And I was like, this guy is just so dumb. He's like, he's going to kill himself or kill somebody else. I was like, I mean, do you see the video? He's like, shh, shh. I mean, there's no time for reaction. I mean, he's actually going in between vehicles and everything. I was like, of course, we don't encourage that. Obviously, that's dumb and it's very dangerous, not very responsible. Yes. But I saw it, and then I guess on the news, Colorado's actually hunting this guy down. They actually saw the video. They're hunting him down. He's going to be facing some serious charges.
Wow. So, yeah. And actually, when I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I lived there for a time. That was the crotch rockets were popular in that city. And there was a kid whipping down. It was 41st Street, which was a popular street there. And he just bailed into a fence and just went flying and instantly killed him. And he was a young person. And, you know, everyone was all, oh, what a travesty. And it was really kind of like, what an idiot. So those motorcycles, those crotch rockets specifically, people just do dumb stuff.
Well, you get young teenagers. I mean, we've both been young teenagers.
Unfortunately,
before.
Yes.
Sometimes we think we're invincible. We're young. We think we're invincible, and we do things that we shouldn't do. And think, you know, at least in my case, Lord allowed me to be alive to tell about it. I mean, like when I was a kid, I did some dumb things. With fireworks, that were not, you know, the official designated usage of them. I mean, so but
it's ingrained in the nature of males, young boys. My boys were sharing about they had their friends were having a BB gun fight the other day.
Wow.
With BB guns. And they're like, yeah, they didn't have like helmets on or anything. They're just like shooting at each other. I was like, okay, that's not good.
The worst spanking I ever got was because I shot my brother with a BB gun when I was a kid. Well, I didn't do it on purpose. I thought it was empty. So we was at my grandma's breakfast table and I'm like, I shook the gun, nothing, no rattle sound. And I thought it was empty. So I said, hey, Chris, he looks up, pink. Got right between the bridge of the eyes. Yeah, look, I'm like, oh gosh, man, I got the whooping of my life right there.
Stupid, man, guys, chime in on the conversation. Stupid things you've done in your life, both in as a boy and adulthood. And I'm potentially going to do something. We have a men's conference this Saturday at our church, and I'm going to potentially do something stupid that hopefully doesn't harm me physically too bad.
Oh, right.
Anyway, so
this is interesting.
That's what I'm throwing out there for the guys. I'm like, listen, there's going to be a memorable moment, Pastor Jeremiah moment, this Saturday. I will guarantee you it. I think if all goes as planned, it'll be fine. But
does it involve being in the kitchen or?
No, it involves Rob Vaughn and me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's coming this Saturday.
This Saturday, wow. 7 o'clock. So, yes. Rob Vaughn, Jesus Freak, the pro wrestler, and me. There could be an altercation. It could. Some fireworks between the two.
Will it be on YouTube? Will it be on YouTube? If it's not video.
Anyway, that's all I'm giving you right there.
If it's not on video, it didn't happen, man. But no.
Yep.
So, yeah, we guys, if you're on a motorcycle, treat it with respect. It's a motor vehicle that, you know, obviously obey your traffic laws and just kind of quell the urge to do something crazy like this guy did.
Woo! Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. And then... Also, in this month, the final season of The Bad Batch comes out with a 3-episode drop.
On Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus.
Yeah, I haven't, it's interesting with MCU and Star Wars. It doesn't seem like there's been a lot out lately. Is there Daredevil or something? I've gotten out of the streaming game in terms of watching any good shows lately.
Yeah, Star Wars hasn't had much. I know that the rumor of the second season of the Book of Boba Fett, of course, obviously the first season wasn't the greatest, but
yeah,
they're kind of curious how they're going to do the second season. But The Bad Batch is kind of like probably my favorite series that they've done in the Star Wars universe outside of the movies, because this actually has some really good stories, really good character and stuff like that.
The only one I tried to get into is, have you ever heard of Reacher? That's on Amazon Prime. That's a popular streaming show, Reacher.
Never watched it.
No. Okay. I started watching that one a little bit, but I'm trying to find a good series because it helps me, like, while I'm at the gym.
Yeah.
Spinning on the bike, working
Marvel,
out.
Marvel just, I don't know. I saw a trailer for a new Marvel movie that's coming out, and, like, didn't look too appealing to me.
Yeah, nothing. I don't have any hot takes on streaming shows right now. The only one I'm waiting for is Cobra Kai. That's what I'm waiting for, the new season Cobra Kai, which is supposed to be coming out at some point.
Interesting. So, yeah, the Bad Batch. So, obviously, it's being the final season. There's a lot of speculation of what's going to happen. Obviously, this is the only series you actually hear of them. I mean, they did show up in the original Clone Wars, but after episode 4 and beyond, you don't hear of them. So, speculation is, are they going to be all killed off, or what's going to happen to the characters? I mean, last season, spoiler alert, one of the characters did get killed. The tech guy, he gets killed in the last episode of the last season.
Oh.
So he's not. So what's going to happen to the rest of them? What's going to happen to Omega?
Yeah,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
Bring baby Grogu back. We need him back. We need what's her name back? The one lady who got fired for like going anti woke and they crushed her.
Yeah, Gina
Carano. Gina Carano. We need her back. She was so epic. Like,
well, in my opinion, they need to fire Kathleen Kennedy. She's been probably one of the worst things for the Star Wars.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I want to just on spiritual talk today in regards to football, and for ladies that might be like, oh, geez, spiritual parallels to football. But this isn't so much. This is one I learned back in the day. It's called the 5 P's. It said proper preparation prevents poor performance. Have you ever heard that before? Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Never heard that one, but I have heard the principle behind it.
Yeah. So anyway, I think when you're watching these football games, you know, they begin to talk about preparation, and you know, team sometimes loses because they weren't prepared enough or they didn't think through certain scenarios and they weren't able to navigate the environment. And then, you know, the argument is made, even I would say more so in the Chiefs Baltimore game. So Baltimore, the argument was they're so used to playing with a lead that they don't know what to do when they're behind. So the argument was Baltimore this year, like in all the games they won, they pretty much crushed teams. So they weren't prepared to know what to do when they were behind. So when they're losing, now all of a sudden they're like,
panic mode.
What do we run? And they're just, the argument was Lamar Jackson's now just slinging the ball around. He's getting discombobulated. He's confused because he wasn't, in a sense, prepared for that particular moment to happen in his life, you know? And so you make those arguments with different games, not ready mentally. And it's kind of a sports thing. But, you know, I just take that into our spiritual life in a sense that we're supposed to, you know, operate with a sense of preparation, specifically as followers of Christ and specifically as men of God. You know, we're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be prepared to live our spiritual lives. And we're supposed to, you know, kind of prepare in such a way that we're prepared for different scenarios and different things that are going to come at us throughout our daily lives as men of God. And so the idea or the thought of spiritual preparation is very important. And we know that spiritual preparation comes in the forms of, yes, prayer, and in the Word of God, and then establishing those spiritual disciplines in our life that are really going to help us when it comes to the good and bad moments of our spiritual journey.
Right, and also with that, also knowing your enemy. I mean,
knowing
your enemy. It's like we was talking because like in the Sunday school class, we're teaching the kids how to tell others about Jesus and what to expect. It's like, I get him out to practice. One kid's like, I was like, okay, now I want you to tell this person. He's gonna pretend he's a sinner. You're the Christian. You want to lead him to Jesus. We talked about the steps. Loving the person, knowing the Bible. Obviously, you gotta know what you gotta know it because guess what? That guarantee is you'd be surprised what these sinners come up with. And you're like, you don't want to look, but you got so. A kid gets up there and he goes, well, you know, my son, he's like, the sinner goes, well, prove to me that God is real.
Okay.
So the guy's playing the Christian goes, well, you know, scientist. I'm like, hold on, you just lost the argument, dude. Because guess what? He's going to say, well, I have scientists that say we came from monkeys. Which scientist is right?
Uh-huh.
So you just lost the argument. You just lost it, dude. I mean, we're just kind of coaching. It's like, you got to know what the tactics, and you obviously got to know your Bible. I said, now if someone asked me, prove to me God's right is right. I said, you know, well, I've seen God work in other people's lives. Mm-hmm. My grandma's, both of my grandparents, grandma's who are my inspirations. Probably the main reason why I'm a believer today is because the inspiration they had on my life and pouring into my life. Mm-hmm. I've seen God move. I see. This is why the Bible isn't like reading Goldilocks and the Three Bears. That's a fairy tale.
Yes.
But the Bible, I've seen God work in other people's lives. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him save me and deliver me from sinful desires that I could not get free from myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the same person I used to. See, the Bible says, you know him by the word of your testimony. And, you know, gospel and the word of your testimony. So you got both of those combined. And that's how I know God's real, because I've seen him work. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him work in other people's lives. I've seen him move. So that's not a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I know. That's how I'm telling you God's real. Now, if a person, you know, he could say, well, I don't believe. Well, I'm like, oh, you don't believe it. Fine. You know, you're prerogative, but I'm telling you, he's real, bro. He's real, sister. You know?
Yeah.
So you be prepared to know the wiles of the enemy, because I said the devil knows. And then one kid goes, well, I believe in Jesus. I said, well, challenge him. Well, how is your belief different than the devil? I guarantee you, the devil believes in God, but guess what? How is your belief differs from him?
Yeah.
Now, if he says, well, I'm saved. Okay. What evidence do you have of salvation in your life? Because if you go to town like Carthage, 14,000 people, you go knocking at doors, 70% of people are going to tell you they're Christian. 70% can say, I'm a believing Christian. I'm a believing Jesus. I believe in God. Okay, well, if you took that nationally, well, why do we have so much evil and wickedness in the world? Obviously, that's not true.
Yep.
The Bible says the devil can show up as an angel of light. So why couldn't the devil say, I'm a Christian? Just to deceive you.
Yep.
I mean, just true that. So, so the Bible says examine yourself, right? I mean, challenge the person to examine yourself. Is there any fruit that is evident in your life that you have actually been transformed through that power of salvation? If they're not, then we might have to have a discussion. But I'm saying that every, when you meet Jesus, there, if you look in the New Testament, any person that's been converted who had an encounter with Jesus, Paul is like a big example. Saul,
right.
Paul. Saul, yeah. I mean, Saul was knocked off his horse, stricken blind. I mean, he became a person who went to kill Christians and persecute Christians, to writing most of the New Testament.
Yep.
There is evident fruit in that man's life that he had an encounter with Almighty God, Jesus Christ. And so when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, there is an impact on your life. It's going to show.
Absolutely. So just the idea of preparation, you're kind of speaking to, you know, being prepared to share the gospel. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to live our spiritual life? And then the big moment, the real big Super Bowl for us Christians is we're preparing for the return of Christ.
Amen.
That's the big, big, big thing. And we can't let hold of that thought and that idea slip away from us, you know.
Well, that should motivate us to go tell others, because think about it, man. It's like I was telling my wife last night. Obviously, I'm going to be grim, but a few days ago, Alabama executed a death row inmate by nitrogen gas. And I was like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I told my wife, put yourself in that man's shoes. I mean, think about it. You're eating steak. He had a steak for his last meal. You're eating steak, knowing 2 hours later they were going to strap you.
That'd be so creepy.
No, seriously. Imagine yourself. Just sit back and imagine. I don't know if this man knew God. Or I don't know if he found Jesus while he's in jail. I don't know. But anyways, you're fixing to go lay down on a gurney, get strapped down, a needle stuck in your veins.
Wow.
And then once they put the 99 juice in you, you're not waking up in this earth. You're not waking up on this earth. You're going to eternity. I mean, think about that. If you're not ready to meet Jesus, or, I mean, even that example, or just anybody, any one of us, in the next 5 minutes could be dead.
Yep.
I mean, we don't know. So think, but and then that once your eternity is there, you're set, man. You're not going anywhere else. I mean, if you go to heaven, you're there for eternity. If you go to hell, you're there for eternity. And it's like, think about the futility of the life. And it's like, we've all got loved ones, friends,
mm-hmm. yep,
family, that if they were to meet their earthly end in the next 5 minutes, would go to hell. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. And then half of us like, well, we're praying that God will send him somebody. No. Are you a believer? You talk. See, the person God's sending to him is you, because you have access to that person. You're praying for somebody else to go talk to him. Like, you're trying to skate out from doing it yourself. You go talk to that person.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a believer. Go talk to him.
Yep. And the beautiful, the simple beauty of that is we start having these conversations can kind of make me a little anxious and like, whoa, this is serious and a big deal. Maybe a little scared. But the beauty of when you decide you want Jesus in your life and you choose to believe in him and follow him, there's now a new affirmation, new confidence, a hope and expectation. Yeah. Like, dude, I don't have to fear death. I don't have to be afraid of that because I know Jesus now.
Yeah, Jesus. That's the one thing. That's one of the awesome benefits of being a Christian is the fear of death is gone. It's like, I'm just going to close my eyes here and wake my eyes up to a better place. And it's like, you went to my first, it's like, my last breath here is going to be my first breath in heaven.
Amen.
And then all the old things pass away. I don't have to worry about death anymore. I don't have to worry about fear, sorrow, loneliness, all the crazy stuff we have to deal with on earth. We'll never have, it's like that'll be all eternal past. I mean, yeah. We could talk about words, but there's no words that we can't really fully explain it because we've never been to that side of glory yet.
Yeah. Amen. Are you ready? You know, are you ready, guys? Be ready. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. A little motivation for you. But that's it, guys. The Super Bowl's coming down the pipe. We'll talk about it more, I'm sure, in other news on the Modern Christian News Podcast. Appreciate you guys being a part of the conversation. Share, subscribe, tell someone about the Modern Christian Dudes, and join the Modern Christian Dudes Nation. And maybe I won't be here next week based on what I have to walk through this Saturday night. You know, anyway.
Remember, if some video didn't happen.
That's right. I'll get the video. Talk to you guys next time.